from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
Special edition of this Graybar Sports Open Line continues from Hot Shots in Fenton, our final KMOX Soccer Showcase of the year. Nate Gatter alongside Jent Cease in for Matt Pauley, who is on assignment. You will hear him again tomorrow night. We talked to City fullback Thomas Totland at the beginning of the first hour. We also visited with Dale Schilly and George Kanzer, the latter for Laws of the Game. If you missed any part of that, you can go back and hear it on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. Anywhere you get your apps, you can hear the podcast version under, I don't know if this will be under Graybar Sports Open Line or under the St. Louis City Soccer Report, maybe under both.
Maybe.
But either way, anything you miss, you can hear there. You can also hear us streaming live on KMOX. You can hear City Games on Y98, Cardinals Baseball on KMOX. All of that streaming live and for free on the Audacy app.
You know what I was thinking, too, is already saw what we had the news break. Kids coming in with their soccer uniforms on. We are not far here in Fenton. I grew up in Fenton, so...
What are we, a couple miles from soccer park right now?
Maybe. Yeah, a mile or two. Just a throw across the highway there. But a lot of us growing up spent a lot of time at soccer park playing. Gallagher teams are probably there practicing, and I wouldn't be surprised if we have more fans. So if you're in the area, definitely, we've got Thomas for another hour. Take advantage of it and come on over and grab. I like the three-in-one stop. Come for a beverage, come feed your family, meet a City player. Get it all done, go home, take a shower, go to bed, go to school.
You
be
know,
done.
It's funny, this just reminded me, it has nothing to do, well, it has something to do with St. Louis City and that it has to do with soccer in St. Louis, but it has really nothing to do with what we've been talking about. But a couple of weeks ago on the Soccer Report, we were talking and visited with some coaches talking about the beginning of the college season for, at the time we were talking about the St. Louis men's and women's teams because they had some high-profile games. The St. Louis men hosted Indiana early on in the season. The St. Louis women
and the Bronze Boot was coming up.
Yep. And the St. Louis women hosted BYU and Penn State in the early season. And you were talking, I think, specifically in the context of the BYU women's game at Herman Stadium about how, you know, that should count as a practice, right? Call off your practice and have your youth team come to Herman Stadium. And I think probably exclusively because they were listening to you and you are the soccer, St. Louis soccer influencer that you are. I was there at the game, as were you, against BYU, the SLU women's game. And to your point about the kids and their soccer stuff, I think half the crowd was wearing Gallagher green that night.
So Gallagher, I think that was your doing. That was a coordinated event, and I'm here for it. I love it.
I think you deserve a lot of the credit, is what I'm saying.
I don't know about that.
You are full-on influencer status.
But it was fun. My older daughter's team, who plays for Lou Fuse, they were there sporting some of theirs. But, yeah, I mean, props to Gallagher. They came out in full force and, like, sat at the end. You could see them all together. And it was great. They had trophy on display. The MAC trophy, I think, was there, getting ready, of course, for the Bronze Boot games. And do you know Simon Betcher was there, too?
Former Billiken.
I saw him, and then it didn't take long before everybody else saw him, too. So I think Simon has lost any anonymity at SLU. He was there with his girlfriend, who graduated in 2021 and played for the SLU women as well. So small soccer. Soccer world's big, but it's also small.
So let's talk a little bit about St. Louis City during the time we have left to be talking soccer. We're going to have Tyler Terrens with us in just about 10 minutes. He'll be calling the game for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV when City play host to Minnesota on Saturday night. Kickoff of that game just over 48 hours away now, 7:30 on our sister station, Y98. We will have the pregame. Well, Jen will have the pregame at 7 o'clock on Saturday. And then we're gonna talk to Bernie Miklas at 7:35, but we'll be transitioning that final half hour to a little bit more of traditional sports open line talk. We'll talk Cardinals and Mizzou football getting ready for their game this weekend. But City have six games left in the MLS regular season, three of them at home. They'll play Minnesota twice, and Minnesota currently have that final playoff spot. So to the point that I was discussing with Dale, if City were to get 3 points from this game on Saturday, that would give them 8 points from four, all unbeaten since the resumption of MLS following the League's Cup break. and it would put them potentially as close as 5 points from the final playoff spot. Now, Minnesota do have a game in hand on City, and it would at least make the math possible, especially, as Dale said, if you bear in mind that Minnesota in particular and some of the other teams ahead of City have challenging paths. Obviously, it's an arduous road, a winding road from where City are right now to that number 9 spot and the MLS playoffs, but it is not completely out of the question. And no matter what, I think there's a lot of positive to take in how City have played these 3 games out of the break. It could have easily been 7 points from these first 3 games had they been able to hold on to 3 points they probably should have had against Portland. But as it is, 5 games without a defeat, they've had a lead in all of them, and then they managed to get that win against Galaxy.
Yeah, and just looking at the teams coming up, so if you can grab the points with Minnesota here at home, you go into San Jose, which you can't take any team lightly, but they're at the bottom of the Western Conference.
But you're saying you're taking San Jose lightly.
Let's take them seriously and go grab 3 points. You can grab those and then face off with Kansas City here at home. Again, a team who's had also some success, but near City on the standings, and with City Park fans behind them. The last standoff was a six goal fest at Children's Mercy Park. But to face off with them here, and potentially the thought of potentially grabbing 9 points from these 3 games before you face off again then with LAFC, who's a definitely different kind of opponent for City to tape, I think would change all narratives at this point in time.
It's a great point because, obviously that's asking a lot, right? City have not gotten 3 points from very many games, let alone 9 points from 9 this year. But were they able to do that? And they are gettable points in the sense that 2 of the 3 are at home. All of them are against teams in the bottom half of the West. And those latter 2 games, San Jose and Sporting Kansas City, are against the other two of the bottom 3 teams in the Western Conference, including San Jose, who are dead bottom by quite a distance at only 17 points for the season, 11 back of even St. Louis and Kansas City, the next couple of teams ahead. That's by the end of September. We're talking, we could be having this conversation, 16 days from now on the post game after City, if they were to beat Sporting Kansas City and make it 3 wins in a row, we could be having a conversation where City have closed the gap from where it currently is now at 8 points back of Minnesota down to, it probably wouldn't be Minnesota in the number 9 spot at that point in the Western Conference, but one way or another have closed it to within, 3 or 4 points maybe with 3 games to go, and that is not outside the realm of possibility. What's working against them, much like what has been working against the Cardinals, is the number of teams between them and a playoff spot, because it's only realistic for so many teams to lose on so many given days, but it's not completely impossible. And again, I think my real point, regardless of the likelihood or lack thereof, because clearly at this point it is significantly more likely than not that City miss the playoffs, which will be disappointing, but even if City can mount a real challenge and give themselves some momentum, like Thomas Tatlin talked about, he clearly and the team clearly are not foreclosing the possibility of making the playoffs, but there is value in having closed this gap, having given some chase, having proven to themselves, if they haven't already, that the team that we've seen since August 1st is very, very, very different to the team we saw the first few months of the season.
Yeah, and if I can loosely quote João Klaus from today at the press conference, he talked about the fact that, they're taking all these games seriously, that in their minds the season's not over, and they have the full intention to show up in full force every game and take every, possibly grab every point that they can, no matter what the numbers might crunch out to be. They're trying to grab as many points as possible and promise the fans to work as hard as they can to do so.
We will have Tyler Terrens, who calls games for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, joining us just after the break. And he will be on the call on Apple TV for City's game against Minnesota coming up on Saturday evening at City Park. Again, anything that you missed from that first hour, including our couple of segments talking with City fullback Thomas Totland here at Hot Shots in Fenton, where he is taking photos and signing autographs as the evening goes on, and our conversations with Dale Schilly, which I thought was informative as always, touching on what's left for City in the playoff chase, touching on John Hackworth and what the last couple of months mean for him and what the game still to come mean for him, maybe more significant for him than any other individual person on planet earth, what is remaining of this city season, as well as what we heard from George Gansner on Laws of the Game, talking about the officiating controversies, or at least the VAR reviews. I don't know how controversial they were in the end. I guess Caleb Porter found them very controversial. But the VAR procedures from cities to draw against New England last weekend, all of that is available on the free Odyssey app, where you can hear Odyssey stations, KMOX, and City Games on Y98 streaming live, or you can go back and hear our shows in podcast form on demand. That's the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Tyler Terrens of Apple TV coming up next. Stay with us for more Gray Bar Sports Open Line after this on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Sorry to disappoint, but still no Matt Pauley tonight on this special edition.
It takes two of us to replace Matt.
That's true. A special edition of Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues. Our final KMOX Soccer Showcase of 2024. Nate Gattergensis in for the aforementioned Matt Pauley this evening. He'll be back with you tomorrow. And we are joined now by Tyler Terrens, who is a play-by-play announcer for Apple TV's MLS Season Pass. And he will be calling St. Louis City's game against Minnesota coming up in just over 48 hours, kickoff 7:30. On Saturday evening on our sister station, Y98, and, of course, on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, which now is down to $9.99 for the remainder of the season. You get the rest of the regular season, still six more St. Louis City games, and the entirety of the playoffs for just $9.99, a one-time payment. And I think if you're an Apple TV subscriber already, it's free for the remainder of the season. So both of those options available. Tyler, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And now would be a good a time as any, I guess, for me to finally get MLS Season Pass. And a good thing it's coming cheap at this point in the season.
You should get that for free. No.
No, I do. I'm kidding. Of course, I do.
I was gonna say I'm pretty confident.
I was say that's not fair for Apple.
That's actually his main compensation.
That's right.
He gets a couple of sandwiches and MLS Season Pass.
There you go. There you go.
Tyler, obviously, you know, this won't be your first time seeing St. Louis City, but at the same time, as we've talked about at length tonight and has been talked about, I think, around the league, it's a very different St. Louis City since the summer transfer window than it was in the first part of the season, both because of some players, notably Joao Klaus, getting healthy again, but maybe more so because of the additions of some big-name players in the transfer market, including the likes of Hartle and Toyshirt and Simon Betcher up front. But also Horn at the back, who has been getting a lot of minutes. How are you preparing for this game, and what's your mindset around the St. Louis City you're going to see when you know that, more so than maybe any other team in MLS, their spot in the table is not necessarily indicative of the quality they have on the field right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because as I was rolling through my prep and we had our conversation with John Hackworth earlier today, it's not an exact situation, but it's a very similar situation in Minnesota United, where Minnesota obviously further up the table. St. Louis are trying to catch them, obviously, this weekend, and it is a proverbial six-pointer, but they're very similar to St. Louis in the sense that they reloaded. They had to get some big names in. They've spent the most amount of money that they've spent in the past four or five transfer windows. I think maybe even more. It might be up to six now since they brought in Emmanuel Reynoso several years ago. But anyway, this is all to say that I think that this St. Louis City team, you know, you can really judge them over the past eight games, or if you look at their record, they've really only lost one game. I mean, obviously, they lost the penalty kick shootout to Juarez, but their only loss is coming against arguably one of the best teams in North America, in Club America. So with all that said, I'm preparing for it, and I was lucky enough to be able to see some of the debuts of the likes of Marcel Hartle, Simon Betcher, and as well as Cedric Toyshirt, or it was actually Toyshirt's second game with St. Louis City several weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, this is a group that for me, I'm taking a look at, and I am also taking John Hackworth's word, like this group right now, I think, deserves to be higher up the table with the type of football that they've been playing recently, as well as what they're capable of playing, because I don't even think that they're close to 100% in terms of what they're capable of at this point in time. But I think that this is a group that even next year is going to be like a shoe-in for the postseason. But right now, they obviously, you know, are still trying to put some things together. And they obviously have to do it quickly, or else they're going to be on the outside looking into the postseason.
You know, I'm wondering, Tyler, of what you think coming in. You know, you go around and you see all the kinds of different things. Maybe you're lucky to get, you know, teams close to one another where you're like, okay, I don't have to prep so hard because I've seen them recently. But with St. Louis City, it's market. It's a market change in the way that they play. And it's not that St. Louis City's not willing to press, but the way that they press is much different. John Hackworth talked with us as well here locally in the media about being focused on pressing triggers, on being healthier on the ball, making sure that their possession rate of the ball is better. What they do with the ball attacking-wise and what they do with the ball it can be part of what the defense is. And it just looking at your kind of juxtaposition of seeing the way City played before early in the season, where a lot of the pressing triggers were off the ball, kind of jump the trigger, you get the ball, you go in, the possession rate is lower, where it seems to be climbing a little bit with a little bit more discipline, a little bit more intentional play on the ball.
No, you're spot on, and I think that, you know, if we're going to make an analogy here, it's just sort of like you gave Bradley Carnell's version of St. Louis City football a little dose of Valium, right? Everybody seems a little bit calmer, everything's a little bit more stable, and it doesn't seem like they're kind of just a bunch of chickens with their head cut off trying to hunt down the ball. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that there was anything wrong with the way that Bradley Carnell was playing, right? We all have our ideas of what the game is supposed to look like. And for John Hackworth, the biggest thing that he said to us ahead of the Vancouver game, which he said was the most uncomfortable and the worst feeling that he's ever had as a head coach, and that was sort of the big turning point for this group, he talks so much about resting with the ball, that it's okay to press and to recognize those triggers that you were talking about, but you also have to be able to have the energy to be able to do that over the course of 90 minutes so that when you do get the ball, it doesn't need to be 100% miles an hour or 100 miles an hour. It can be a bit more measured. And for this group, I think we're starting to see that. And it's also with the players that they're bringing in, right? When you look at Toyshirt, when you look at Hartle, and even Horn for that matter, these guys are good on the ball and they like to connect and they like to combine. So I think that you're seeing that with the types of players that are being brought in as well. But you're spot on. This is a much different feel from Bradley Carnell's version, but it still is St. Louis City, I think, at its core. It's just not nearly as helter-skelter what we saw under Bradley Carnell.
Tyler Terrans, play-by-play announcer for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, who will be calling this Saturday's City game against Minnesota, is with us. And Tyler, in your preparation for these two teams, not to mention all that you've seen of them this year and your conversation with the head coaches, what do you think is going to be most important for City to do well in order to get a result and really get 3 points that they have to have on Saturday?
This is going to sound painfully cliche, but I do think that they just have to be ruthless, because I've seen Minnesota now 16 times this year. I almost feel like I'm the voice of Minnesota United with how much we've been.
16?
That's a lot.
16 times. Yeah, and I thought I did St. Louis City a lot. I've done St. Louis City, I think, 6 or 7 this year, which is a lot for, you know, the entirety of the league.
You need to make a note of that, because that's the kind of record you might never touch again in your career.
No, and Callum Williams, the former voice of Minnesota United, is a friend of mine, and I texted him after about my 13th to 14th visit to Minnesota. I was like, I think I replaced you as the voice of the Loons. I'm not 100% sure, but it sort of feels that way. But with that said, I've seen so much of them this year, and Seattle was a good example in their win against them, which is 3-2, great game a couple of weeks ago. You know, they just took their chances. Minnesota were probably the better team for the majority of the game, but Minnesota give up chances because they also like to press. They also like to throw numbers forward. Eric Ramsey, you know, who's the youngest coach in Major League Soccer right now, he likes to get after teams. He likes to be on the front foot, but they also make mistakes. They like to play out of the back. So St. Louis are going to be given opportunities here, and some of those pressing triggers that we were talking about a moment ago, those are going to become reality very quickly. And if St. Louis City can jump on them, that's number one in terms of trying to, you know, get a result out of this game. But how many times over the past few weeks have we seen St. Louis City squander points from a winning position? 3 out of the last 4 games, they've now dropped 6 points, you know, from when they were leading, right? Whether it was the New England game, the Portland game, or the Sporting Kansas City game, they were leading in those games, and they gave away the lead. And John Hackworth said it's something they're trying to fix. So being ruthless, getting out to an early lead, that's always a good thing. But for this group, it's also slamming the door shut and being able to see the game out and maybe having a little bit more of the ball than we're used to seeing.
You know, Tyler, you and Kendra Disenalbin are around different stadiums, and all the stadiums have their own great vibe. Being at City Park, do you think that we've got a lot of City fans actually here tonight for a signing with Thomas Totland, so it's kind of a show slash interaction with a player. City fans show up for a lot of this stuff, and do you think that the City fans can, whatever the game looks like on Saturday night, however Minnesota decides to play and St. Louis decides to play, that the 12th man, so to speak, from a crowd can really make a difference?
Oh, 100%. And not only that, but this game, as John Hackworth told us, he basically said it's do or die. So if, you know, for whatever reason you're a St. Louis City fan and you're thinking you're not going to see playoff soccer this year, this is going to be a playoff game on Saturday. Because right now, with the way that the table is set up, Minnesota United being in ninth place, and sort of the way that they've been playing the season, St. Louis City needed to catch them. Hackworth literally told us that, you know, if they don't win this game, they're not going to make the postseason. And I said, would you say that if you were playing anybody other than Minnesota? He goes, no, with the way that the table is set up and everything that we just talked about. So not only is this 12th man going to have such an impact on this game, but whoever goes out to the game on Saturday at City Park is going to see a real show and a real playoff energy and vibe about this game. Because while St. Louis City are trying to catch Minnesota knows that they cannot simply just cruise, get a point here, get a point there. They have to continue to build on what they have. And to be able to avoid that wild card game for them, you're looking at between 42 and 44 points, and they're sitting on 36 right now. So they've got some work to do, particularly down the stretch with a rather difficult schedule, to be able to secure their spot in the postseason. So this is going to be a great vibe, and City Park is always rocking. And it's one of my favorite places to go call a game, and it's not because I'm on local St. Louis radio right now. I'm just telling it how it is. But this is going to be a great, great, great vibe from start to finish. This will be 90 minutes of controlled chaos, and I think you're going to see a lot of goals as well.
Tyler Terrence, we appreciate you so much being with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
That's Tyler Terrence. He'll be calling Saturday night's City-Minnesota game on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, which is available for $9.99 for the remainder of the season and the playoffs. We'll take a break. When we return, we'll have Bernie Miklas with us talking a little bit of Cardinals baseball and Mizzou football as well ahead of their game coming up this Saturday. Sports Open Line continues after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Special edition of Graybar Sports Open Line this evening from Hot Shots in Fenton, our final KMOX Soccer Showcase. Dave Catter in for Matt Pauley and pleased to be joined by Bernie Miklas. We're so excited to have him back as a KMOX contributor. Bernie, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Hey, Nate, it's really a pleasure to make your acquaintance. And listen, man, I'm going to I got to flatter you a little bit. Gosh, you do such great work for Westwood One, and I was looking at your schedule and all the big time college football games you got coming up all year long. So congratulations to you. You got a heck of a career going, and you're obviously very, very, very good.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I don't want to sometimes people take this the wrong way when I turn it around, because I don't want it to be about an age thing, but I will say that it means especially a lot to me as somebody who grew up reading you in the glory days, what I would consider the glory days of the Post-Dispatch sports section in the 2008, 2009, 2010 when I first moved here, and it was so cool to be in a place that had the caliber of sports writers that we did at that time and that we still do, but that, you know, the columnists at that time with yourself and Brian and Joe Strauss, it was just such a joy to pick up the paper every morning. So it means a lot to me coming from you. I really appreciate you saying that.
Well, I'm glad we're going to have a chance to work together from time to time. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as well. With that, let's start with the Cardinals. And before we get into any kind of, you know, because in my mind, I think at least half of my brain, if not more, is already on the offseason. But let's start with back-to-back wins today. They won the series, a couple of games above 500. Still six games out of the wild card with 16 to go. It would take something, I think, bordering on miraculous at this point for them to find their way into the playoffs. Are you holding out much of any hope at this point?
No, only because I tend to be very pragmatic, maybe to a fault. But the reason isn't that I don't – listen, I don't rule out that the Cardinals would get on a run. But they would need other teams to collapse, and the Mets show no signs of collapsing. I mean, the Cubs are playing really, really well, and Atlanta has stalled a little bit, but they pick it right back up again. I don't see how the Cardinals can overtake three teams ahead of them unless those three teams all collapse. And so pragmatically, I think the Cardinals are done. Yeah, stranger things have happened, however, but having to hurdle three teams, that's really, really tough this late in the season.
Yeah, it's a good point that you make, and it's not dissimilar to what we were talking about with St. Louis City earlier on the show, that sometimes it's not only about the number of points or number of games separating a team from the playoffs, also about the number of teams between them, because that's just how many teams you need to all collapse at once or have something approaching a collapse and allow you to gain ground. So thinking about the offseason then, do you feel confident that the Cardinals really have a direction right now, especially considering the sort of uncertainty that exists at a number of levels in the Cardinals organization, that they are pointed in a direction regardless of what it is going into the offseason?
Well, they're going to make changes, but my question is pretty simple. I wish I knew, or I wish I could count on the fact that these changes would have like really heavy magnitude. Bill DeWitt Jr. and Bill DeWitt III, I mean, listen, they know that the fans are disillusioned or they're angry or they're frustrated and they're just turned off. They're still great, still buy a lot of tickets. They just haven't been going to the games. And the fans of the St. Louis Cardinals are too smart to be kind of fall for like a window dressing job. I mean, this doesn't require an adjustment, a tweaking. Well, we're gonna hire this guy to do that, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna move that around. Listen, they need a major overhaul of the front office. They need to convey to the fans of the St. Louis Cardinals that they realize they're in decline, that their model turned outdated, that they're way behind the times, and they need to catch up, and they need to start over from a leadership standpoint. And it's nothing personal, but you know how it is. I'm asked my opinion, I'm going to give a straight answer about it.
And that's exactly why we have you here, Bernie Miklas, with us on the Graybar Sports Open Line tonight. Quickly, well, I do have you. Obviously, sure. There's been a lot said already in these first couple of weeks about Missouri football. And to be honest, when you start with Murray State and Buffalo, to be fair, they took care of business, boat race the two of them by a combined 89-0 score. I feel that not a lot has changed because there's not a lot we're saying now that's not wouldn't have been applicable in mid-August, right? In some ways, they've won two preseason games, and now we're talking about the first game of the real season coming up against Boston College, one of the hotter teams in the early season, now number 24 in the country, in large part thanks to beating Florida State on the road in week one. How are you feeling about Missouri at this point as really being the number six team in the country where they're ranked right now? Do you feel confident they are the sixth best team in the nation?
I think that they can be. I'm not sure how to take that rating. We were discussing with some friends, are they overrated? Some people say they're underrated. I don't think they're underrated. The bottom line is they're going to have their first real opponent this week, and Boston College has kind of snuck up on people, but they're not going to sneak up on Mizzou. Mizzou will be ready for them because they know, hey, it's a ranked team. People are looking at us. They're seeing if we're ready for a real challenge. This would be a trap game under normal circumstances. I think Mizzou views this as a great opportunity to kind of reaffirm that they're a very strong football team. It's a dangerous game because I think the coach of Boston College is really good. I think Castellanos, their quarterback, is a dual threat quarterback. He's really good. He can get on the move and throw it. Their running back, who was at Kansas State, is really good, really sturdy. They can power up on the ground. So it's a great test for Mizzou defense. It was like flawless in the first two games, but now they're going to get like a real test. And I think the Mizzou offense is as impressive as those two wins were. There's a lot there that they can do better. I was looking at their average yards per play the first two games, and as actually less than their average yards per play all of last season. You know, so Mizzou's a 16.5-point favorite. That's amazing to me. In fact, this will be the first time Mizzou has played a ranked team and been favored by 15 points or more in 30 years. So this is a really interesting game, and I can't wait to watch it. I think it's a really good test for Mizzou, and they'll be ready. Because, hey, if they beat a ranked team, that's good for their resume down the road.
That's very true. It's actually the first time Missouri has played a non-conference game in which both teams were ranked in more than a decade, since playing Illinois in the early 2010s. Really quickly, well, I still have you, and just on that note on the Missouri offense, the expectations right now are that not only Luther Bird and Theo East, the receivers, will be out there and playing, but also that Missouri's going to get tight end Brett Norfleet back. That's the reporting as of this afternoon, evening, that there's optimism that he's going to be on the field. From Missouri's standpoint, they announced today, as was expected, that the $250 million North End Zone project and stadium renovation was approved, sort of the final phase of modernizing and, in their minds, taking Memorial Stadium and Faurot Field into the upper echelon of college football. I think if there's one thing that can be said for Missouri, whether it's the football program, the athletics department, all the way up to university leadership, they have done a good job of recognizing that right now they're getting they've caught something here. They've got a little spark in Eli Drinkwitz. They got the right guy in, even if it was sort of a haphazard coaching search at the time. They found the right guy. They've got a little magic right now, and they've done a good job of trying to capitalize on it both in terms of finding the funds to give Drinkwitz the new contracts and the raises that you have to do to keep a great coach, and also now developing the stadium along with the NIL to where it needs to be. They're taking all the steps to capitalize on this window.
There's no doubt about it. I used to be disappointed in the state of the program because I thought that Mizzou was kind of like, okay, you know, we're in the SEC. That's great. Oh, this SEC money. Boy, it's really great. And it's like, are you going to sit on the porch, or, you know, are you going to actually try to, like, strive in a way you never have before to be a good SEC team rather than a kind of a hanger-on? And that may sound harsh, but I think people understand what I'm saying. I think Eli Drinkwitz is perfect for these times. When they hired him, I don't think any of us envisioned college football would change so rapidly with NIL, the hyperactive transfer portal. But he's a terrific salesman, and I mean that as a compliment. He's the ideal coach to go out there and raise money and recruit and talk people into doing this, doing that, getting people on his side. I mean, you couldn't really program a better coach based on the challenges in power football in 2024, because you have to be able to sell, and he's been able to sell. Not just the money people, but the legislature in Jefferson City. I mean, the administration at Mizzou loves him, and he's got everyone unified. I mean, he's really done a remarkable job in that part. He really has.
And you could argue, I think, that Missouri and, in general, whoever comes in sort of second and third in each division in the SEC are maybe the teams that are most well-positioned to capitalize on the playoff going from 4 to 12, because what that most likely means is that rather than one, maybe two SEC teams getting in the playoff every year, you're talking about certainly three, probably four, maybe even five some years that are getting in. So all of a sudden, you don't need to make the SEC championship game to make the playoff.
No, that's right, and it's...
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Special edition of Graybar Sports Open Line this evening from Hot Shots in Fenton, our final Cable X Soccer Showcase. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauley, and pleased to be joined by Bernie Miklas. We're so excited to have him back as a KMOX contributor. Bernie, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Hey, Nate, it's really a pleasure to make your acquaintance. And listen, man, I'm going to I got to flatter you a little bit. Gosh, you do such great work for Westwood One, and I was looking at your schedule and all the big time college football games you got coming up all year long. So congratulations to you. You got a heck of a career going, and you're obviously very, very, very good.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I don't want to sometimes people take this the wrong way when I turn it around, because I don't want it to be about an age thing, but I will say that it means especially a lot to me as somebody who grew up reading you in the glory days, what I would consider the glory days of the Post-Dispatch sports section in the 2008, 2009, 2010 when I first moved here, and it was so cool to be in a place that had the caliber of sports writers that we did at that time and that we still do, but that, you know, the columnists at that time with yourself and Brian and Joe Strauss, it was just such a joy to pick up the paper every morning. So it means a lot to me coming from you. I really appreciate you saying that.
Well, I'm glad we're going to have a chance to work together from time to time. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as well. With that, let's start with the Cardinals. And before we get into any kind of, you know, because in my mind, I think at least half of my brain, if not more, is already on the offseason. But let's start with back-to-back wins today. They won the series, a couple of games above 500. Still six games out of the wild card with 16 to go. It would take something, I think, bordering on miraculous at this point for them to find their way into the playoffs. Are you holding out much of any hope at this point?
No, only because I tend to be very pragmatic, maybe to a fault. But the reason isn't that I don't – listen, I don't rule out that the Cardinals would get on a run. But they would need other teams to collapse, and the Mets show no signs of collapsing. I mean, the Cubs are playing really, really well. And Atlanta has stalled a little bit, but they pick it right back up again. I don't see how the Cardinals can overtake three teams ahead of them unless those three teams all collapse. And so pragmatically, I think the Cardinals are done. Yeah, stranger things have happened, however, but having to hurdle three teams, that's really, really tough this late in the season.
Yeah, it's a good point that you make, and it's not dissimilar to what we were talking about with St. Louis City earlier on the show, that sometimes it's not only about the number of points or number of games separating a team from the playoffs, also about the number of teams between them, because that's just how many teams you need to all collapse at once or have something approaching a collapse and allow you to gain ground. So thinking about the offseason then, do you feel confident that the Cardinals really have a direction right now, especially considering the sort of uncertainty that exists at a number of levels in the Cardinals organization, that they are pointed in a direction regardless of what it is going into the offseason?
Well, they're going to make changes, but my question is pretty simple. I wish I could count on the fact that these changes would have like really heavy magnitude. Bill DeWitt Jr. and Bill DeWitt III, I mean, listen, they know that the fans are disillusioned or they're angry or they're frustrated and they're just turned off. They're still great, still buy a lot of tickets. They just haven't been going to the games. And the fans of the St. Louis Cardinals are too smart to be kind of fall for like a window dressing job. I mean, this doesn't require an adjustment, a tweaking. Well, we're gonna hire this guy to do that, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna move that around. Listen, they need a major overhaul of the front office. They need to convey to the fans of the St. Louis Cardinals that they realize they're in decline, that their model turned outdated, that they're way behind the times, and they need to catch up, and they need to start over from a leadership standpoint. And it's nothing personal, but you know how it is. I'm asked my opinion, I'm gonna give a straight answer about it.
And that's exactly why we have you here. Bernie Miklas with us on the Graybar Sports Open Line tonight. Quickly, while I do have you, obviously sure. There's been a lot said already in these first couple of weeks about Missouri football. And to be honest, when you start with Murray State and Buffalo, to be fair, they took care of business, boat raced the two of them by a combined 89-0 score. I feel that not a lot has changed because there's not a lot we're saying now that's not wouldn't have been applicable in mid-August, right? In some ways, they've won two preseason games, and now we're talking about the first game of the real season coming up against Boston College, one of the hotter teams in the early season, now number 24 in the country, in large part thanks to beating Florida State on the road in week one. How are you feeling about Missouri at this point as really being the number six team in the country where they're ranked right now? Do you feel confident they are the sixth best team in the nation?
I think that they can be. I'm not sure how to take that rating. We were discussing with some friends, are they overrated? Some people say they're underrated. I don't think they're underrated. The bottom line is they're going to have their first real opponent this week, and Boston College has kind of snuck up on people, but they're not going to sneak up on Mizzou. Mizzou will be ready for them because they know, hey, it's a ranked team. People are looking at us. They're seeing if we're ready for a real challenge. This would be a trap game under normal circumstances. I think Mizzou views this as a great opportunity to kind of reaffirm that they're a very strong football team. It's a dangerous game because I think the coach of Boston College is really good. I think Castellanos, their quarterback, is a dual-threat quarterback. He's really good. He can get on the move and throw it. Their running back, who was at Kansas State, is really good, really sturdy. They can power up on the ground. So it's a great test for Mizzou defense. It was, like, flawless in the first two games. But now they're going to get, like, a real test. And I think the Mizzou offense is as impressive as those two wins were. There's a lot there that they can do better. I was looking at their average yards per play the first two games, and it's actually less than their average yards per play all of last season. You know, so Mizzou's a 16.5-point favorite. That's amazing to me. In fact, this will be the first time Mizzou has played a ranked team and been favored by 15 points or more in 30 years. So this is a really interesting game, and I can't wait to watch it. I think it's a really good test for Mizzou, and they'll be ready. Because, hey, if they beat a ranked team, that's good for their resume down the road.
That's very true. It's actually the first time Missouri has played a non-conference game in which both teams were ranked in more than a decade, since playing Illinois in the early 2010s. Really quickly, while I still have you, and just on that note on the Missouri offense, the expectations right now are that not only Luther Bird and Theo East, the receivers, will be out there and playing, but also that Missouri's going to get tight end Brett Norfleet back. That's the reporting as of this afternoon, evening, that there's optimism that he's going to be on the field. From Missouri's standpoint, they announced today, as was expected, that the $250 million North End Zone project and stadium renovation was approved, sort of the final phase of modernizing and, in their minds, taking Memorial Stadium and Faurot Field into the upper echelon of college football. I think if there's one thing that can be said for Missouri, whether it's the football program, the athletics department, all the way up to university leadership, they have done a good job of recognizing that right now they're getting they've caught something here. They've got a little spark in Eli Drinkwitz. They got the right guy in, even if it was sort of a haphazard coaching search at the time. They found the right guy. They've got a little magic right now, and they've done a good job of trying to capitalize on it both in terms of finding the funds to give Drinkwitz the new contracts and the raises that you have to do to keep a great coach, and also now developing the stadium along with the NIL to where it needs to be. They're taking all the steps to capitalize on this window.
There's no doubt about it. I used to be disappointed in the state of the program because I thought that Mizzou was kind of like, okay, you know, we're in the SEC. That's great. Oh, this SEC money, boy, it's really great. And it's like, are you going to sit on the porch, or, you know, are you going to actually try to like strive in a way you never have before to be a good SEC team rather than a kind of a hanger on? And that may sound harsh, but I think people understand what I'm saying. I think Eli Drinkwitz is perfect for these times. When they hired him, I don't think any of us envisioned college football would change so rapidly with NIL, the hyperactive transfer portal. But he's a terrific salesman, and I mean that as a compliment. He's the ideal coach to go out there and raise money and recruit and talk people into doing this, doing that, getting people on his side. I mean, you couldn't really program a better coach based on the challenges in power football in 2024, because you have to be able to sell, and he's been able to sell not just the money people, but the legislature in Jefferson City. I mean, the administration at Mizzou loves him, and he's got everyone unified. I mean, he's really done a remarkable job in that part. He really has.
And you could argue, I think, that Missouri and, in general, whoever comes in sort of second and third in each division in the SEC are maybe the teams that are most well-positioned to capitalize on the playoff going from 4 to 12, because what that most likely means is that rather than one, maybe two SEC teams getting in the playoff every year, you're talking about certainly three, probably four, maybe even five some years that are getting in. So all of a sudden, you don't need to make the SEC championship game to make the playoff.
No, that's right, and it's the SEC is still really, really tough, too. I know that there's always going to be soft teams at any given year, but, you know, like Tennessee didn't get much attention before the season, and I think Tennessee's really outstanding. So, in other words, what I'm trying to do is look at this, look at the horizon, and, like, who Mizzou will have to beat out in the SEC to be in position for a playoff invitation. And there's a lot of good teams. It goes way beyond, you know, Georgia and LSU and Alabama, Ole Miss. I mean, there are a lot of dangerous teams, and Tennessee's one of them. So it's going to be a real big challenge. But as we all know, the schedule is very favorable for the Tigers this year. They just can't afford to slip up. They have to take full advantage of what is, by relative to a lot of other SEC teams. This year, it's I'm not going to say it's an easy schedule. I'll just stick to the word favorable schedule.
I think that's a very fair word to use. Bernie, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
You got it, Nate. Look forward to talking to you again. Take care.
Bernie Miklas with us on KMOX. So good to have him back at the station, really the way it should be. Missouri and Boston College at 11:45 this Saturday. To Bernie's point, really only three games that stand out for Missouri. Beyond that, at Texas A&M in a couple of weeks, not an easy place to play. Then they'll go back-to-back games, though, with a bye week in between, at Alabama at the end of October, and then hosting Oklahoma at the beginning of November. But, you know, then part of the challenge of the SEC is that you're leaving out the likes of Auburn, South Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State. in talking about the challenging games ahead. And, well, those teams on paper should be very winnable for Missouri. It only takes one slip-up sometimes to wreak havoc in a resume. That was Bernie Miklas. We will take a break and wrap up this edition of Gray Bar Sports Open Line when we return on America Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Nate Gatterin for Matt Pauley, wrapping up this special edition of Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX, our final KMOX soccer showcase of the year, and we hope many more to come from Hot Shots around the St. Louis area. Hot Shots in Fenton this evening. Want to say thank you to City fullback Thomas Totland, as well as the great folks who came out to see him here at Hot Shots in Fenton. You can look up KMOX Soccer Showcase for more information on what goes on and hopefully what will be in store in future years as well. Get giveaways, photographs, autographs, all of that and more. Of course, Jen and I were also visited by Dale Schilly and George Ganser, as we are for every St. Louis soccer, St. Louis City Soccer Report. In the second hour, we also talked to Tyler Terrens of MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, who will be calling this Saturday's St. Louis City game against Minnesota. And you heard that conversation with Bernie Miklas then a moment ago, discussing the Cardinals and the Missouri Tigers. If there's anything that you missed that you want to go back and hear, whether it's on this show, any other show on KMOX, you can always do that on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. You can go and hear all the podcasts on demand as you want to listen to them. And meanwhile, you can hear us live on any of our shows. You can hear St. Louis City Soccer on our sister station, Y98, for free live, and Cardinals baseball, all of that free on the Audacy app and streaming live and with it for the shows on demand. Jen will have the pregame for you on Y98 Saturday night, 7 o'clock, when City get ready to take on Minnesota at City Park. And then she and Joey Zanaboni will have the call for you, kickoff at 7:30, a game that John Hackworth has called must win for St. Louis City to stay in the playoff chase, 8 points back of Minnesota for that ninth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference with just 6 games to go. That's Saturday night, 7 o'clock from City Park. Thanks so much for being with us, all of you on the radio and all of you on the free Odyssey app and all of you here at Hot Shots in Fenton. For Jen Cease, Nate Gatter saying so long. Hope you've enjoyed this special edition of Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Nate Gatterin for Matt Pauley, wrapping up this special edition of Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX, our final KMOX soccer showcase of the year, and we hope many more to come from Hot Shots around the St. Louis area. Hot Shots in Fenton this evening. Want to say thank you to City fullback Thomas Totland, as well as the great folks who came out to see him here at Hot Shots in Fenton. You can look up KMOX Soccer Showcase for more information on what goes on and hopefully what will be in store in future years as well. Get giveaways, photographs, autographs, all of that and more. Of course, Jen and I were also visited by Dale Schilly and George Ganser, as we are for every St. Louis soccer, St. Louis City Soccer Report. In the second hour, we also talked to Tyler Terrens of MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, who will be calling this Saturday's St. Louis City game against Minnesota. And you heard that conversation with Bernie Miklas then a moment ago, discussing the Cardinals and the Missouri Tigers. If there's anything that you missed that you want to go back and hear, whether it's on this show, any other show on KMOX, you can always do that on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. You can go and hear all the podcasts on demand as you want to listen to them. And meanwhile, you can hear us live on any of our shows. You can hear St. Louis City Soccer on our sister station, Y98, for free live, and Cardinals baseball, all of that free on the Audacy app and streaming live and with it for the shows on demand. Jen will have the pregame for you on Y98 Saturday night, 7 o'clock, when City get ready to take on Minnesota at City Park. And then she and Joey Zanaboni will have the call for you, kickoff at 7:30, a game that John Hackworth has called must win for St. Louis City to stay in the playoff chase, 8 points back of Minnesota for that ninth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference with just 6 games to go. That's Saturday night, 7 o'clock from City Park. Thanks so much for being with us, all of you on the radio and all of you on the free Odyssey app and all of you here at Hot Shots in Fenton. For Jen Cease, Nate Gatter saying so long. Hope you've enjoyed this special edition of Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.